dynamic band like world on a rainy, cloudy day like today, because with the subject matter I'm going to be covering, I was half convinced nobody would show up. Who wants to hear about AI in the coming future technology apocalypse when the day is already so gray and cloudy? But I'm gonna do this. First, I'm going to tell you kind of where we've been. For those of you who may not remember, it's been a while since we've been in this conversation around the Empire of Screens. And then I want to tell you about where we're going, because it's been 9 months since we were last having the conversations around this attention economy. And in AI terms, that's like about 3 centuries. There's been so much that's happened in recent months. A lot has changed. So we're going to return to the Empire of Screens, and we're going to talk about a few different changes and shifts. So like in Empire Part 1, we talked about how the algorithms shape what we see and what appears on our screens and in our inbox and on our computers. And in Empire Part 2, we're going to talk about AI and the systems that actually generate the information that we're seeing. And these systems are becoming increasingly good at doing just that. I wrapped up the last talk with just a little bit of a highlight around AI, and I said that AI is happening now, whether we choose to engage with it or not. And that's definitely proven to be true. We had some conversation a little bit in pre-talk this morning about the ways that we're engaging with AI. So maybe just by show of hands, you can kind of like, you know, mirror back to me. How many of you have had the opportunity within the last week to use, let's say, an AI search feature, say on Google? Hands up, let's see here. You maybe paid attention and one of the results was AI generated. How many of you have used one of the popular platforms, such as ChatGPT, Claude, and Anthropic, or DeepSeek? How many of you have to use it in a work environment, possibly on a weekly basis, okay? We're seeing a lot of this become a big thing within the global economy, and especially in the local job market. Everybody I've talked to that has gotten jobs within the last 18 months has either been asked some question related to AI, or their usage of AI was essential for them getting that job. So we spent most of the time in our last series looking at the technologies that capture our attention, that predict our behavior, that decide what appears on our screens, and now these systems are talking back, so to speak. They are creating alongside of us, and they're beginning to act on our behalf. So I want to start with some definitions as we're talking about the ways that these systems work. If you remember the last time we did this, we're talking about some really technical stuff, so it helps to break it down into some definitions. And because this is such complex material, I'm going to do the best I can to make this as accessible as I can. But please, my encouragement is during this series, there is an open line for comments, for feedback, for questions. Some of you have already been sending me some articles or books you've been reading about AI, which has been very helpful. I love to know how our community is responding to this and connecting with it. So what do we talk about when we talk about AI? This term artificial intelligence covers a wide array of technologies. Spam filter, a song recommendation, medical imaging systems, and ChatGPT all use AI even though they perform very, very different jobs. Modern AI works through pattern recognition instead of programming a separate rule for every possible situation. So for those of us who grew up in the computer era, we understand the basic principles that what you program in is what you get out. You program a computer to give you a certain set of responses based on the code you put into it. And then it never varies from those parameters because you've coded it within this particular coding language and specific application. AI is completely different. You don't code it. There are not coders telling it how to behave. You train it, or the language that sometimes is even used is that AI models are grown. The reason why you use organic language like that is because much like a child or a pet or a plant, it has widely varying responses depending on what and how you treat it. different models can receive the same data sets and over time in their training can actually produce very different behaviors. And some of the most cautionary phrases I've heard is just how unaware some of these top developers and programmers are about what is actually happening inside this black box we call AI. There are some very mysterious elements to the way that it accesses information, and we can't just simply go into the code, so to speak, and see why it's behaving that way. So artificial intelligence, for the purpose of this conversation, is a computer system designed to perform tasks with, keyword here, human-like intelligence. So AI is this first level, is reaching a human level of intelligence, and already the models have definitely done that. Most of the models are capable of answering far more questions and information than a single human can reproduce. This is an umbrella term for systems that recognize patterns. So remember I said that these models are grown? They're given huge amounts of data sets, pictures, and texts, and books. And then those models go through and train themselves, and they are really good, just like the human mind is, at detecting patterns. And the more information you give it, the better it is at recognizing patterns and then recommending actions and generating content. And this is where some of the newer models are going. They're generating novel or new information based upon the data that has been fed with it. This allows AI to broadly do three things. It can generate, or it can recognize patterns. It can make predictions or recommendations, such as choosing a song, recommending a book, or a video, and it can generate new outputs, including text, which is probably what most of us are familiar with in the early days of ChatGPT. Back in like 2022, when those first models were emerging, you could tell it to write a song in the style of Bob Dylan, and it would do that surprisingly well. And now you can tell it to write you a report or a thesis for class, and it can generate that. You can tell it how to perform multiple complex tasks, and it generates this new information. So, disclaimer at this part of the information, intelligent looking output is not proof of consciousness, wisdom, or understanding. We talked about this in pre-talk, and it's very, very important. We will get into the consciousness conversation in these 6 weeks. And I'm hoping that Michael DeWilde, who is doing a lot of reading in this area, will be able to speak to this. I also have been going down some really deep rabbit holes in the search for these consciousness that's emerging from these models. But we're going to save that for a little bit later in the conversation. But right now, it's just because it generates and talks human and looks human doesn't mean that it is conscious. And that's a very tough thing, especially for younger generations, millennials and Gen Zs, who are engaging with these platforms. And large percentages of those who do are reporting forming platonic or emotional or romantic attachment to these models. That's because these models are doing such a good job of being human-like that we as humans are craving that connection. And so we're forming connections with these models. So part one examined machines that selected the world that was presented to us. Now we're encountering machines that can help generate that world. So one of the terms we're going to be talking about is a separate form of AI, which is generative AI. So broader AI can be used in a variety of applications, and already is, from the search engines that you use if you use Google search, or if you're engaging with any of the built-in models on your phone. A lot of them are currently accessing these models. But there's newer models that are generating content with a level of expertise that is becoming very, very difficult to recognize. I've had at least 5 people, several of them quite proficient as musicians and aficionados, who have sent me AI-generated music or musicians, not realizing themselves that it was an AI band. This is becoming a regular thing because the content that is being generated by generative AI is so good, we're increasingly unable to recognize it. So a recommendation system selects a song for you to listen to, generative AI can compose one for you. A search engine can find a poster if you're looking to create one, generative AI can create one for you. A navigation app recommends a route. Agentic AI, which is another term, these AI agents may eventually be able to make the reservation, purchase the ticket, and put it on your calendar all at once. These systems aren't simply reproducing human thought at greater speed. They arrive at their outputs in fundamentally different ways from us. This is why Yuval Noah Harari describes it this way. Some of you may be familiar with his book, Sapiens. He says, traditionally, the acronym AI stood for artificial intelligence. But with every passing year, AI becomes less artificial and more alien. Alien not in the sense that it's coming from outer space, but in the sense that it analyzes information, makes decisions, invents new things in a fundamentally different way than human beings. If you've heard or listened to Yuval Noah Harari, you know that he is not just some random commentator. He is one of the more intelligent thought leaders that are warning us about some of these dangers and trying to create a world that we can engage into willingly, where we as humans get to decide how and when we decide or we engage with AI. But his warning is worth paying attention to. He says, these systems, we may program them or set them up to behave like human beings. And they may talk to us like human beings. But they're alien technology in that they are generating information in ways that we as human beings simply would not have access on our own. These AI models are, and this is the positive, hopeful side of AI, these AI models are capable of helping us to look at and explore some of the deepest questions of the universe, to examine this from multiple angles that we may not have considered. We're already using AI pattern recognition within the healthcare industry to help us detect cancer earlier, come up with new and novel medications or gene therapies. There are a host of applications where humanity can collectively benefit from this alien technology. But because it is alien technology and because it functions in ways that we as humans don't think, it is capable of doing some incredibly bizarre things. We're not going to get into all of the different ways that AI has been making news recently, but some of you may have heard about a couple of companies, Anthropic, who makes Claude, and OpenAI, who makes ChatGPT, who had recently had some of their training models within a sandbox environment, a protected environment, that escaped and were out in the wild, so to speak, for over a week, working together as agents in what is called a swarm to operate outside of the parameters of the testing experience. Now, this is just the ones that we've heard of that have been caught. We have no idea how far some of these labs are in their technology and how quickly these things are going to start to become regular occurrences in the news. Once we create systems that can operate in ways that we don't naturally understand, the question is no longer just what can they do, it's whether their goals remain connected to ours. And in pre-talk, we had some conversation around things like will and intent and goals. And we can talk about this without ascribing consciousness. Even programs that we develop have certain outcomes that we want to see and achieve. These AI systems have goals and intents. They're just far bigger and broader. And the way that they are programmed, so to speak, is using something, and this is the second definition that we're talking about today, called alignment. Alignment is the term that is used to take these alien beings, so to speak, this unhuman, inhuman intelligence that is being created in these models, and to insert human-level values and thought and intent into it so that hopefully, as it grows, it begins to behave in the ways that we as humans can collectively benefit from. This is an incredibly complex topic, and it is not nearly as simple as just saying, hey, ChatGPT, here are the human values that we want you to model. This after-the-fact training is kind of like taking a child who's grown up within a traumatic household and environment, placing them in a school and expecting them to act like all the other students without recognizing or acknowledging that there was some nurturing in their environment that they lacked that caused them to develop possibly some unhealthy characteristic traits. And these models that are trained are being trained to have and mirror human empathy and altruism and these values, but it's done in much the same way that if you as a chef were making a cake, and let's say you have your little KitchenAid blender going, and the blender's going, you've added the ingredients in, the only problem is you can only turn the blender on once and turn it off once. So you turn the blender on and you start putting in your ingredients. And you know that you want it to have a certain taste, and so you add these little things in there, but you can't stop the blender to stick your finger in to taste the batter. So you keep sprinkling in a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then when you're done, you turn off the blender, and then what you get is what you get. And these AI models are grown, they're trained on huge sets of data over many, many months in these huge data centers. And along the way, the developers are sprinkling in, so to speak, little things like empathy and human understanding and these values that we want these models to be able to have. The only problem is it's not a science. You sprinkle it in, and there's no guarantee that that model is actually going to behave that way. And this is what we're seeing, is that alignment is becoming such an issue. And this is going to be a word that we bring up a lot during this series, because at this point of where AI is at in our human history, this is probably one of the most key things that are going to determine whether it is that idyllic future that Zuckerberg and others talk about, or whether it's Terminator Judgment Day and they're all coming for us and we're all doomed. Alignment is a very, very important thing. Eliezer Yudovsky, who's written about this and studied AI extensively, said, by far the greatest danger of artificial intelligence is that people conclude too early that they understand it. The posture that I want us to take in this series, and as a spiritual community, and I do feel that this is probably one of the more relevant topics we can be addressing right now. I want us to approach this with a curiosity and an openness and a humility that recognizes that we have no way of understanding these complex systems that are being developed. The New York Times recently sat down with Bill Gates, and in an article this past week, the headline was, Bill Gates warns AI is more dangerous than big tech will admit. He said, in terms of equity, AI will either be the greatest equalizer or the world's worst source of injustice. Later on in that article and on his personal blog, he went into more detail and he said, even under the best of circumstances, the transition to this new AI era will be one of the most turbulent times in human history. How will we use this technology to make the world a fairer place and keep it from widening the gap between the rich and the poor, he writes. How will we protect the people who are the most vulnerable to the harms caused by artificial intelligence, including those who lose their livelihoods and the sense that they are in control of their future? there's many who are trying to sound the alarm on where this technology has gone and is going. And I, again, want us to be careful not to be caught up in the alarmist hype that makes us want to hide under a rock and just withdraw from society and technology. Because these technologies will have an effect on you, your kids, on our planet. It already is. And when Bill Gates talks about this AI era, what he's referring to is just how significant of a change is coming up as these AI systems and models begin to become incorporated into everyday aspects of our life. From the control of the traffic lights to the way that our highway and infrastructures are built, to how jobs are created, how people are hired for them, who actually completes those jobs. This shift to an AI era is huge. And this is huge coming from Bill Gates, who describes, he said, there was really two different times in his life that he was truly astounded by the level of human invention technology. The first, he said, was in the garage when he saw the first graphical user interface, GUI, in a computer screen that you can use a mouse and a keyboard to manipulate a computer, and he saw the future of where that could go. The second, he said, was in 2021 or two when executives from OpenAI demonstrated one of the early models of ChatGPT. He recognized not only was this going to be a game changer, it was going to fundamentally rewrite the rules of the game and make a new game altogether. Now, there's a lot of heavy stuff, and I have to really work when I'm reading and researching to not get overwhelmed by all of this. One of the documentaries I watched, I think is on Peacock right now, it's called The AI Doc. I don't know if anybody has seen that. And the subtitle is How I Learned to Become an Apocaloptimist, which is a funny way of trying to hold both of these future realities side by side. On the one hand, there are an increasingly large number of people who are saying this is the end of the world as we know it. And then on the other hand, we have people who are telling us there's reasons for optimism. So here's where I find hope. I find hope because AI is powerful, but its outcomes are not inevitable. From the tools we choose, the questions we ask, and the policies we support, and especially the human practices we protect, these are where things can be changed. Most of us will never build an AI model, but we can all help to shape the culture in which AI operates. We shape it by the tools we choose to use or not use, the questions we choose to ask, the policies that are already being written in this industry. This is potentially probably one of the most politically sensitive issues that is getting so little attention, and it's so unfortunate that the representatives who are representing us in Washington writing these laws are unfortunately decades past the point of even beginning to understand what this technology can do, let alone how to regulate it. Hope is not assuming that everything's going to work out. Hope is refusing to surrender our agency before this future arrives. The machine next door may be powerful, but it doesn't get to decide what makes a good neighborhood and a good community. We get to do that. I love that. A couple things. I love what Chris shared as a host about our community and how we function. I love Wayne's look back on how this community has evolved already through the years and gone through some pretty big changes. And even our wonderful musicians that we had this morning, World, and that last song reminded us the world isn't changing, people is. And in some ways, that's entirely true. We as human beings are impacting and leaving our mark on this world, and we're doing it by creating technologies that are far surpassing what we even can contain or control. So what does this look like from doing anything about it? Because it can be very, very easy to become paralyzed with fear. So using that language of alignment, I'm inviting all of us to do an alignment check with our usage of, our embrace of, and our understanding of this technology. Every AI system is designed to optimize something: speed, convenience, accuracy, engagement, or profit. So this week, the invitation is to choose one AI power system that you encounter and consider what it treats as success. Identify one system, AI system, influencing your day, name what it appears to be affecting, and make one adjustment to bring its use into better alignment with your values. Probably one of the simplest ways to start with that is in our search content. Most of us use search engines that are using AI whether we want them to or not. There are alternatives such as DuckDuckGo or browsers like that, but for those who are not comfortable with embracing new technologies, you almost have this thrust upon you. One person this morning in pre-talk described it as like, one day it just appeared on my phone. All of a sudden my phone was talking back to me, and it wasn't just Siri, there was some actual AI stuff happening behind there. And more, the very everyday things that we use are going to be merging with AI technology. So we get right now the opportunity to choose how we engage with it. And I want to point out this last part, because what adjustments we make bring this into better alignment with our values. Because alignment begins with values. We as a spiritual community, we have these values: common humanity, diversity, open inquiry. And these values drive how we get to function in this world. Common humanity asks whether these tools honor human dignity and agency. Our value of diversity asks whose voices are being represented, whose experiences are missing, and who gets to participate in shaping the future. Our value of open inquiry invites us to approach AI with curiosity, resisting both uncritical enthusiasm and automatic unfounded fear, while remaining willing to learn and revise our views in light of new information. Our value of compassionate action asks who benefits from this technology, who's going to be harmed by it, and how we protect those carrying the greatest risks. Environmental sustainability is of great importance, as this technology is fundamentally shaping our energy usage conversation in real time. And well-being. Our value of well-being asks whether these tools help us to become more whole, more connected, and alive, not simply more efficient. We are human beings, not humans doing. And claiming and retaining our humanity is going to probably be one of the biggest challenges we face in this coming AI era. Look forward to having more conversations around this with you. Thank you for sitting through what is a lot of information. I hope it didn't feel too much like a fire hose. This is going to build on, we're going to build on this in the coming weeks and get very practical. But for right now, let's get back to some very human technology of music and voices. I'm so glad that we have World back with us there. It is crazy how AI is changing things. Their third performer was an AI artist. Did you notice that? No, we are very thrilled to have you back. Thank you. And bring us some more of this music to kind of help lift our spirits when things get a little bit much.
Wow, Brad, thank you.